Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Ah, Lynn, they're playing our song. This is week three of a thought-provoking and, for me, revealing conversation with our human condition guru, clinical psychologist Lynn Worsley, on culture and cultures. Wherever we go, wherever we look, we're actually there. It's very much part of the human condition, this whole culture thing. Welcome back.
Thanks for having
me. Great to see you. Now, we've been talking about organisations so far, work cultures in particular, and other kinds of places where we see cultures emerging. Tonight, we're going to build on the concept of givers and takers, got the matches squeezed in the middle, and see how we can move to a more giving culture. Briefly for a start, take us through what we covered last week. Where do we traverse?
Okay. Now, we picked up from a series that we did a number of weeks ago, which looked at the giving, taking and matching cultures.
Yes.
And the giving culture is one where, well, let's start with the matching and the taking, actually. So the taking culture looks for bargains in their workers in an organisation. So that's where burnout is pretty high. And the workers come in knowing that they're going to be worked really hard, but they do that often because they themselves are takers as well. And they particularly want to get fame from the organisation or status or help them up the ladder and so on. So they work really, really hard and they pretty much, you know, the organisation gets their money's worth out of them.
I think we all know a bit of that.
Yeah. Yes. So that's a culture that is very much a taking culture.
Yeah.
Another one is the matching culture. So you can go in an organisation where there's a matching culture and it looks like where someone gets the value that they put in. So basically, I'm going to ask for what I'm worth. I'm going to see how much money I should earn because of what I'm worth. And they pretty much match their pay for their effort. And they look particularly at what their energy's out as to what I'm getting back.
Yeah.
Okay, now the giving culture is very different. And the giving culture looks at how the energy that I put out is actually going to benefit other people. So so to actually establish your worth in a giving culture is to see how other people are benefiting. So it's very different to the other two. And what we see in a giving culture is that there is a real sense of service in a giving culture. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be in the service industry.
No, that's right. Yes.
It could be in anything. But where there's a giving culture, you tend to see a much better productivity.
Yeah.
And you tend to see an organisation where people stay for a lot longer and they have a real sense of honour to the organisation and will keep giving. So, now last week we looked at the shifting from a taking and a matching culture to a giving culture.
Yeah.
And how you can make that happen. And we looked at a few of the little things that you can do in an organisation to shift it. And a lot of that is from a leadership perspective. You can look at it in terms of helping the organisation to establish their vision and helping them to look outside of themselves and what they're doing. So really look at the purpose and the meaning behind what they're doing.
Can I ask you about vision? It's such a familiar, almost hackneyed thing in workplaces. If you're going to have a genuine vision and something that really means something, what will you be doing to set that vision and communicate it, I suppose, people on board?
In order to communicate a vision, you need to actually have people to gather the dilemma in the first place.
Okay,
so in order to establish a vision, people need to be gathered around how would we like things to be instead of where they are now. How would we like to improve things and so on?
So they understand a dilemma where they are, that they're not doing as best as they could, perhaps.
Yes, okay. Yes. Or that, you know, there is an element of struggle and the vision comes with that struggle that comes together. So if you really want to establish a vision with people, one of the key things you need to do is to bring them together to actually work it. And
yes,
one of the difficulties is that if you've come into an organisation and the vision has already been established, you know, you see it up on the wall and, you know, here's the mission statement and this is our vision and we believe in this, this and this and this. And it's just words.
Yeah.
But when you've been involved in that process of establishing what that vision is, you then can capture it. And I think that is a good reassessing process.
But it's got to have credibility.
It does have to have credibility, and oftentimes it's just words for marketing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And really, you know, I think if we really are going to be trying to establish a giving culture, you need to be looking at what is it that we're trying to achieve and who is it we're going to be able to help in this process. Even if you're doing a manufacturing type process, you know, why are you doing that? And what is it you're wanting to achieve in that process for other people?
Yeah.
Or out of yourselves?
It begins to answer my next question. How do you get groups of people who say don't work day to day to move in the same direction as everyone else in the culture?
That's a really good one. Yeah. Because when you actually think about it, people who work from day to day often are working together.
Yes.
And, you know, nowadays we're having many people who don't actually see each other.
In our virtual world.
Yeah, in our virtual world. And in order to help them to move the same direction, you know, again, you come back to that visioneering. I use the term visioneering, making a vision, working on together the vision of how you'd like things to be.
Does it change?
Yes.
It can change.
Yes.
So it's not kind of set up there on the wall forever and a day.
No. Yeah. So I guess, you know, having conversations around, well, what would be the best case scenario? Or you know, if a miracle happened and everything was just the way we want it to be in this organization, what would it look like? Now, that's establishing the vision. But if you have a visioneering exercise, you establish the vision, but you engineer how to get there. So okay, establishing, yes. Okay, this is how the best case scenario would be, but where we are now is about, you know, 2 out of 10. So what would we need to do to move us to 3 out of 10?
Yeah.
And that's sort of engineering some of the process.
That sounds like the credibility I was talking about before.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Another thing we can do in order to move groups of people who don't see each other from day to day in the same direction is actually starting to notice the change towards the vision. So when that's happened, it's like, oh, Joe, you know, I noticed that Joe was doing this great work and sent it in an email towards, and we've not about Joe being rewarded, but Joe did the work that moved us from 3 to 4 towards that vision.
And it doesn't take much to pat Joe on the back for doing that.
Well, yes, but you don't just give him a reward by patting him on the back.
No, but even just to recognise it.
That's right. But if you recognise it, in terms of how it's moving everyone forward, that's probably the best pat on the back you can get. But if you give him a reward like a bonus.
Yeah, I'm not even saying that. Just to say, just a recognition, even an email to say, hey, that's what we're after.
Yes.
That was really good. Yeah.
Yes, that's what we're after, that sort of term. Yeah. If a lot of people get mistaken by saying that they have to reward people or give bonuses, because once you do that, you shift someone from a giving culture to a taking culture.
That's right, yes.
So if you want people to stay on a giving culture, you're going to keep them focused on why they did what they did in the first place and how what they did moved everybody along.
How often am I communicating the vision after I've set it? Am I nagging them into submission?
Oh, okay. So if you're a leader, would you have, you know, would you be wanting to sort of tell them the vision all the time?
Keep on reiterating.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know. I think sometimes you can refer to it and you can revision it.
Yes.
And you can ask people as to how they might have had a part in making the vision and how they see what they're doing as making that difference.
Yeah.
And I think that you keep coming back to it. Keep reminding yourselves, particularly if you're in a leadership position, of what the vision is and why you're doing what you're doing.
I'll ask you this question. How do you make changes when people in the organisation may see change as a bit of a threat?
Uh-huh.
I hate change. You
know? Yes, there's always those people.
Yep.
And, you know, and I think sometimes there's value in those people, because what happens is that you've got people who want to make changes at every minute. And they make changes very quickly. But those people who will say, no, hang on a minute. No, I don't think I'd like that. Oh, no, I don't want to do that. What they tend to do is slow you down a little bit. But sometimes it makes you dot the I's and cross the T's and do things properly.
Mm.
And also, it goes back and sees the values as to why they actually like what they were doing in the first place. For those people who like change a lot, can often forget about the reason the culture was existing in the first place. If you're making a cultural change, you could come in and say, no, we're going to change this, then da-da-da. But essentially, you can't just change an organisation without knowing what the culture was beforehand.
Yes.
So those people need to be acknowledged. And they also need to be acknowledged that the struggle that they have in maintaining things is because they're going to lose something that they value. So it's very important to actually establish what it is that they value and whether that is something that is important to keep.
Yeah.
But oftentimes you find that those people have got a pessimistic attitude as well.
It sounds like it, yeah.
Mm. And so it's important to be really careful too that you don't get caught up in their pessimism and caught up in reacting to their poor ability to change.
So how do you work with resistance then?
Okay, resistance itself is something that is it's a psychological term and we use it a lot. And resistance is when somebody has met something head on and they'll push, that's like they'll put the brakes on. And when you see that, basically you've gone a little bit too far. And really what I find when you're working with someone who's resisting, you need to step back and start acknowledging where they're coming from and what's happening with them. And you'll find that they'll soften then and work out whether the resistance is valid or whether the resistance is mainly because they just don't know what they're doing.
Here's another question. What happens when you can't or don't impact the organisation and its culture personally? You can't believe the number of people I've told, even last night, somebody, I've got this friend of mine who talks about cultures but also climates. That was quite a eye-opener for me.
Yes.
So how do you, or can you, influence a culture on your own?
Well, you can influence a climate, that's for sure. Yeah. You can change the mood.
Just in case people haven't heard about that,
yes.
The difference between a culture and a climate is what?
Okay, a climate is your hot and cold, your good and your bad days, and the climate sometimes can be in a season where things, you know, have that sort of a downer or an upper.
It's the vibe or culture you create around yourself as opposed to the overarching culture.
Yes, and the overarching culture is one, again, you know, look at the giving and the taking and the matching culture.
Yeah. So what happens if you can't or don't?
Yes, well, you actually do always make an impact, but it's whether you join with the culture that's negative or you actually cause a bit of conflict. So essentially your job, if you want to make a change and you're the only person that wants to make that change, you're going to find conflict.
Yeah.
And most of the time what we do is we either, you know, cave in and just join. If you can't beat them, join them.
Yep.
Or we continually have the conflict. Now, I think there's several ways that you can do that without too much conflict. If you want to make a change in an organisation, particularly if it's a taking or a matching culture, and you want to move towards a giving culture, you can write letters to people or you can write emails, just encouraging emails.
Okay,
ones that are very much, not necessarily just positive, but ones that point people in the direction of why you're there in the first place.
Okay.
Talk to people, just in your conversation. Notice, oh, gee, wasn't that great? The client was really happy with the work that we did. Or wasn't it great that, you know, that we had these great gadgets that we put out just recently and the clients have been buying them well. You know, it sounds like we're doing great. So even that sort of conversation. And always encourage people in the positive rather than, you know, oh, that's okay, don't worry, you didn't do too badly sort of thing. That's not actually a positive comment.
Yeah.
It's more to, you know, I noticed you did really well on your sales and, you know, well done, and actually do it genuinely. Highlight the strengths that you see that people have, and particularly when you see that people have different strengths. But one of the things I think is really important is just the quiet, gentle encouragement that you might have with a colleague in the desk next to you. It could be as simple as going and getting two coffees as you're on your way in and knowing what they've got, knowing the sort of coffee that they like. It might be as simple as just, you know, putting a little message, you know, a balloon on their computer when you come in because it's their birthday, or little things that actually establish that there is something you notice about them.
Kate's out there nodding furiously.
Uh-oh.
Got to do more now. Thanks very much. And do the opposite of what's expected.
Yeah. Well, that's right. If they're expecting you to beat them or compete with them, then it's better to actually do the opposite.
She's put her hands on her hips. Don't beat me. So we've spoken a bit about coaching, mentoring. What impact can that have on an organisation?
Yeah.
We've got that kind of culture. We've got coaches. We've got good mentors around. I'm sure that's...
Now, there's a real flavour happening at the moment through organisations, which is actually looking at having coaching and mentoring or both. And they're quite different terms and they have different... implications as well.
Yes.
But if you have a coach in an organisation, what will happen is that coach will actually help you to move forward in terms of your own career. If you have a mentor, you'll have someone who's actually just working alongside you and sees you and gives you help.
And a good listening
ear. As you go. And I think one of the best things that happens in that is that we've shown through research that mentors are the ones that gain the most out of that relationship. And what happens too is that when you've just got those little two relationships, relationship of two people going on in an organisation, that has an enormous impact on the whole organisation if you've got the mentoring happening.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
You've got accountability. You've got pretty much setting up an organisation based on relationships that are giving, and it's the basic part of a giving culture to actually be giving to one another.
Yeah.
And I think the mentoring is brilliant, particularly if you've got seniors in the organisation who are very well organised and have a lot of experience under their belt, and to actually have someone alongside them who's less experienced but ready and willing to learn. And I know for myself, to mentor others in the profession, it keeps you on your toes.
Yes, I'm sure it does too.
But at the same time, it's, because you're giving, they give, and it's just a wonderful relationship that sort of spreads throughout the organisation.
Oh, there'd be so many people saying, oh, if only, out there. Lynn, thank you so much as always. Next week, we're going to look at how workers can have an impact or not on their leaders. And what about voluntary organisations, not-for-profit churches?
Yes.
How can we impact those kind of cultures? Look forward to seeing you next week. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
as
Lee.
Always.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.